Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a tough loss for the Titans last night against the Colts, 34-17. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? How's everything?
Doing very well and doing much better than the Titans were last night, that's for sure. What was your takeaway from the game last night against the Colts in terms of what it means for the Titans in the big picture here as they move forward?
Yeah, it was a huge loss in the big picture moving forward, that's for sure. It was an opportunity for them to separate themselves from a team that has been a nemesis and the team that is most likely in position to keep them from winning an AFC South division title, which we know hasn't happened in a while. Fortunately for the Titans, they have a rematch in a couple weeks, but this game really bared a lot of warts that have continuously come to the surface, and they have a lot of work to do. That's from the coaches to the players. I mean, there were multiple things within this game that you just kind of shake your head at and wonder what was going on and why that decision was made, whether it be on the field or on the sidelines.
All right, so we've been debating, TD, the one of the many warts here, but I do think that the kicking game last night, you know, really lost that game. And the punting in particular, but Gostkowski, we've been talking about it all year. Robbie says you can't get worse. You got to move on. I don't think they will, just because I don't see a great alternative out there. Where do you think this goes right now?
Yeah, that is truly a catch-22, to be honest with you, because if you do move on, where do you go? You know, what happens if you bring in Tucker McCann and he just doesn't do the trick? Of course, you could always say, what happens if you bring him in and he's money, you know, and it's just the tough thing with that kicker position. There's so much that goes into it from a mental perspective, and I don't know what's going on with Gostkowski, but to miss the 44-yarder yesterday in that situation, that's just simply unacceptable, and it's been happening. And, you know, he has 8 missed field goals this year. It's been a long time since a guy from the Titans has done that. In fact, since before that team became in existence, we're talking about Luis Zendejas with the Houston Oilers, and it's bad, you know. And actually, off the top, I think Joe Nedby he missed 8 in a season. So, pardon me there, but yeah, I think they do have to strongly consider moving on, but there's just, like I said, it's a double-edged sword.
TD, admittedly, like, I'm not some punting expert, so I realize there's more that goes into it than meets the eye, and it's obviously easy to second guess after what we saw last night, but I thought Ryan Allen in the Chicago game was fine. Like, what do you think went into the decision to make that move to bring Trevor Daniel in last night in the first place?
Well, I tell you what, and I said it before the game on our preview last night, he must have really been booting the heck out of the ball because, I mean, Ryan Allen averaged 50 yards per punt in a game. When I'm talking about practice, we're talking about a game, he did that.
Nice.
You know, and it's just, that move really was one of the moves I referred to. I had in mind when I said there were some things, some decisions that really make you question what's going on. And that's it. And Ryan Allen was booming the ball. And granted, there were some times where, you know, it was like, ooh, they almost got that one. Ooh, they almost got that one. But when they almost got that one, they didn't. And it traveled 64 yards. But what happened last night? You had the shortest punt this season, and you had it blocked for a touchdown. So that decision, I can't get on board with it.
Well, and another thing, TD, you know, you got the short week. Yeah, I mean, I understand, you know, hang time, you'd like it to be better. Hey, you'd love the replacement to be Brett Kern. Come right in and beat him. But I thought it was really impressive overall. You have a short week. And also, Ryan Allen has held for Gostkowski over a long period of time. You don't want to keep messing with that operation. You've changed the long snap route. Now you change the holder. Now let's have a third different holder in a third game. And I don't know if that had anything to do with the 44-yarder last night, but isn't that something you don't mess with on top of the punting?
Well, I think when you already have a guy who clearly isn't in the right spot mentally, you can't continue to mess with it. You can't do that. You just can't, you know. So, again, I'll go back to it. That's a decision that I can't get on board with, and I didn't even have that in mind as far as the holding situation when I mentioned that. That's a great point, and, you know, something that we were talking about last week, that, hey, that's probably why this guy got the job, you know, and here we are.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. TD, we heard it from some from Troy Aikman last night on the broadcast. A lot of fans this morning on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, have pointed out the Titans playing off the ball and giving the Colts receivers room defensively to make plays and operate underneath. What are you seeing from the Titans defense in coverage in terms of playing off the line of scrimmage? And have you seen any adjustments there made whatsoever so far?
Well, I saw Malcolm Butler play some press. He was playing a decent amount of press, and it wasn't happening on the other side or even across the board. And it just didn't happen enough. And I asked Mike Vrabel about that, and he referenced a play where they were able to push the ball down the field. But I just think when you're playing off and you're playing zone, because that 40-yarder that Michael Pittman Jr. had, he just casually stroked his way from one side of the field to the other, through the zone, cleared the opposite hash, caught it, turned it upfield, and it was a 40-yard stroll in the park. And these are things that you can't have, especially when you don't have the guys up front getting pressure like that. And in addition to that, you got a quarterback. Phillip Rivers got rid of the ball. Do you realize he averaged 2.35 seconds?
Man.
Before he from snap to throw, that's crazy. And whenever that happens, you know what you have to do. You have to press. But I don't know, man. I really don't know. Because Vrabel mentioned it. He said they did it, but there were times where the guys got picked, and there was a play that was down the field. But it just, yeah. It's something, and it's always easier for me or any of us to sit in the box or even to sit here Monday and say, hey, you should have done this. But to be in the heat of the moment, I get it. I know that there's, a lot that goes into the decision. But, man, what did Herm Edwards say? You play to win the game. And I just don't think that coverage is going to allow you to win games when the quarterback's getting rid of the ball that quickly. And it's happening consistently outside of Nick Foles.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, they have so much more information than we do, of course. I mean, this is their job. This is what they do. I mean, it's always more complex than it seems, but man, there are times it's just like they're like, make that guy beat you with his arm down the field, and I know they don't like it going over the top, and they like to make teams earn it, but I thought it just seemed like the Bears game was a little bit of a blueprint and they didn't follow it, and certainly a better quarterback. But, hey, we haven't ripped the offense yet, TD, so let's get to that. Are you worried about Tannehill right now? I feel like the clock has really sped up, and I understand why it would speed up. You know, you take out a Pro Bowl tackle on the protecting your blind side, it's going to change things. But it just seems to me like he's less comfortable, more sped up, and has fewer options out there.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm not exactly sure if I don't know that it's time to be worried about Tannehill. I mean, I get it. He's had consecutive games where, you know, things didn't click. But and you're not going to hear me say this often, but you know, you got to call a spade a spade. You guys know I praise A.J. Brown whenever I get a chance to. But yep. Listen, man, you got to make that catch. And I know it's a hard catch to make. You got to make that catch. And you make that catch. He could still be running. You know, he would have scored, and man, we may be talking about a different ball game. So I get Ryan Tannehill does have to play a little bit better. I understand that, you know, he was under pressure, and you're right. You know, when you're without your left tackle, it is a little bit tougher. But I can't say Sambrello has done a horrible job. I mean, Khalil Mack got a few pressures, but didn't really register anything. And, you know, Bud Dupree, he didn't really do much against Sambrello. And then you look at the Bengals game, that just was another conversation about failures collectively. I just think Tannehill and that offense, they got to get back to play action. It's something that they said that they wanted to do this past week, and they're going to have to get back to it against the Ravens, and it's, yeah, I just think it's a collective effort. They all have to do better.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. TD, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thanks. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
TD.
Man, he's right, though. I mean, all that stuff we've talked about with special teams and what a disaster it was, A.J. Brown catches that ball, maybe it is a different game. I don't know.
Sure.
We'll never know, but that's – you don't see A.J. Brown dropping an opportunity like that very often.
Yeah, I mean, games like that, your big-time players have to make the plays.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the special teams. It was a disaster last night for the Titans against the Colts. Let's get your reaction to it. What should the Titans do from here with the field goal kicking, with the punting, with the special teams as a whole? Take it any direction you want to go. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
They get their first sack, and now a shank off the side of the foot of Trevor Daniel.
I think this game, for me, came down to the special teams for the Titans.
This one's blocked and returned for the touchdown.
I mean, as my daughter would say, P.U. Like, they stink.
And the try is no good. 8 misses this season for Gostkowski. Because you had a bad day, you take
one down, you sing a sad song. Oh, it was a rough one last night for the Titans special team unit in a 34-17 loss to the Indianapolis Colts. The Titans fall to 6-3 on the season, now sit in second place in the AFC South. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, there's a lot of conversation today, obviously, about special teams, whether it be Trevor Daniel coming in to punt, shanking the 17-yarder, the punt being blocked, Steven Gostkowski. A whole lot went wrong last night for the Titans in that game on special teams. And I've already made my position on Gostkowski clear. I think it's time to move on. We've seen enough. He's 12 of 20 on the season. You just can't survive with this moving forward. And to me, if there's even a chance it gets better with somebody else coming in, you've got to make the move. I mean, the margin for error for the Titans right now, with Gostkowski being what he is, and this offense taking a step back with Lawan out, I mean, you can't survive this way. And Gostkowski, There's enough evidence at this point where this just kind of is what he is, and I think it's time for the Titans to move on.
If John Robinson can get Jason Light, his pal, his former boss in Tampa Bay, they worked together in New England, if he can get him to do him a solid and unprotect Greg Joseph from the practice squad there, I'll agree with you. Go with Greg Joseph. Greg Joseph was fine last year. He's been good in the NFL. He's a guy who has done it in the NFL a little bit, so at least you have a track record. I would not move off Gostkowski right now for Tucker McCann or for Giorgio Tavecchio. I just wouldn't do it because 60% is bad. It's bad. It can be worse.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, if the kicker's last name is not Gostkowski and you go on stats alone, how does that change the conversation?
Yeah, it probably does. But I think the conversation really is more about availability now than that. But I hear exactly what you're saying with that. I mean, it's, first of all, and I don't think it's like the teammate buddy thing with Vrabel. I don't think it's that. You know, Vrabel cut Matt Cassel when he got here. They're like really good friends. I mean, that's, but it is this guy's track record. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's an all-time great. Although, apparently he's moved from the top five, like out of the top 10 in all-time accuracy just from this year. That's what someone said last night. I haven't verified that.
It's going well for him.
That'd be quite a plummet. But, yes, I think that's a big part of early in the year. Like, say, that Denver game. We talked about it after that, remember? It's like,
yeah.
Are they just going to have to do – and I think if it was more of a no-name with less of a tracker, they might have. Now I think the biggest hesitation moving on from him is looking around and saying, what are we feeling good about being better right now? And I know you can say it can't get worse. Yeah, yes, it can. It absolutely can.
But don't
can.
You – like – this is going to kill you if you stick with this guy. Don't you have to, if there's at least a chance that it can get better, do something? Like, it's 9 games in. This is what this guy is. He sucks. This is not going to work. So don't, if there's the slightest chance that it gets better, you have to take that chance if you're Robinson and Vrabel?
I mean, it's an amazing run here of kickers for them.
Yeah.
So I guess – I guess you can just keep rolling them out there until you find one. But what's going to happen is Gostkowski will then get picked up by someone and kick 20 straight field
goals.
Probably. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Again, show me a better name than Tucker McCann and Giorgio Tavecchio. Great name. I love the name Giorgio Tavecchio, but there's got to be a better name than that. Greg Joseph, do it right now.
Joe, you brought up a stat earlier that I think is very telling about Gostkowski, is that you take out the Minnesota game, he's 6-for-14.
Yes, exactly. Now, if you want to spin it around his way, you could also take out the Denver game. And what was Denver was what on field goals?
He's 1-of-4 in that one, and he missed an extra point too.
Yeah.
So it'd be 11-of-16?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You know, so, I mean, you can take either of those out.
I see what you're saying, but – but you just can't trust him.
Right. No, I agree. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, he's going to be fine, everybody. He's Steven Gostkowski. No. It's past that. It's just the pickle they're in. And, again, it's largely their doing. They got to the AFC Championship game, so they were fine without it. They just scored touchdowns everybody.
Right.
But this whole thing goes back to last year and Parkey and Suckup. And that decision process at that time is still killing
them. Killing them right now. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Willie from Smyrna, who wants to weigh in. Willie, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road. Hello, Willie.
Okay, sorry. Thanks, guys. Just wanted to say, hey, isn't it time that the GM and Vrabel bring somebody in, whether it be a special teams coach that knows kicking? Because, to be honest, everything they've touched regarding the kicking game has not been good. You know, they inherited Suckup and Brett Kern, so at least that is good. And then they make a bad decision on Suckup. Well, I can't say that. I'm not going to get into that. But the results have been terrible. And sometimes you got to reflect on yourself and say, hey, I'm not an expert in the kicking game. I need to depend on somebody and bring in somebody that can evaluate differently. So that's what I wanted to say. And 2 years is long enough. No other NFL team in the history has been like this. Hey, love the show, guys. Thanks for letting me get in.
Hey, thanks, Willie. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Willie.
That's a great point by Willie. I mean, everything they've done in the kicking game the last couple of years has not worked. I mean, that's certainly, I think, a point of hesitation to argue against me if you're trying to go out and get somebody else. But, I mean, what's the alternative right now? Riding it out with this guy and just accepting that this is going to be what it is? And he's just going to continue to miss kick after kick inside 50 yards. Like, how do you operate the rest of the season with that?
See, and Willie brings up an interesting point. I don't think of special teams coaches necessarily as part of their job as being experts at evaluating place kicking. I suppose, I mean, they work with the place kickers, they work with the whole thing. That's part of it. But to me, like, we watch McCann and Greg Joseph in camp. It's Mike Vrabel sitting there watching him and saying, okay, well, this guy's – I mean, anybody can see it. Those kicks are straighter than those kicks. This guy made more than this guy. We'll go with this guy, right? How much coaching goes into place kicking at this level? I don't think a ton.
Probably not a lot.
Kind of feel
they're
like,
kind of left on their own.
Kind of feel like right. You either make kicks or you don't.
And you are – yeah, like I – you know, the special teams coach is setting up returns – and kicking punt coverage and all these things. He's not over here like, Steven, let's okay, come on, a little bit to the left here, one more step. I mean, they are their own little performers off to the side. So, I mean, I understand the idea. I don't know. They are missing a lot of these evaluations. I know that. I don't know if there's some, you know, kicker whisperer out there who can come in and be like, ah, this one. No, you're missing this, guys. Look at this. I don't know if that exists.
The Mitch Korn of kicking field goals. Mitch Korn, the goalie coach Predators used to have that, like, revives people's careers. They need, like, a Mitch Korn version of field goal kicking. See if they can find that.
Yeah. They need something.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate text in another called shot. If Gostkowski is cut, I guarantee, in all capital letters, that the Titans will not win the division, and I will go as far to say as they miss the playoffs.
So he's saying they must keep Gostkowski. Is that what I'm reading that correctly?
That's what he's saying.
Listen. I swear that's the problem here. Is it really can get worse? It could, and imagine if they say, all right, like if Tucker McCann. He's on the injured list right now in the practice squad. What, either of those guys. Imagine they say, okay, you know what? We're going with them. And they come out and go 1-for-5. And now Gostkowski's gone. And then what do you do? I mean, it can get worse. It can. I understand what you're saying. It's bad.
You comfortable
right now.
Riding it out with this guy right now?
Comfortable? Heck no. But if I'm making the decision right now, if you say, you are the GM, I'm only doing this if I have a better name than Tavecchio or McCann. And maybe there is someone out there. There are other kickers floating around out there. They found a bunch last year, got them figured out, sent them out in the world, and watched them flourish with other teams.
You think Tucker McCann can make a field goal inside 50 yards, the NFL level?
Oh, I think he can. I think he also can absolutely come out and go 1-for-2 like he did last night and kick a 50-yard or miss a 40. Can Tucker McCann do that? Yep.
Sure. But again, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is that it could be also an 0-for-4, just like Cairo Santos with this team last year. I mean, I'm not comfortable at all. I think you have to look at every avenue of making a move. I wouldn't make the move to either of those guys right now.
I think there's a chance he's not on the team at the end of today.
I think you're right.
I really do.
Oh, I think you're right. I think there's definitely a chance.
I get the sentiment of, oh, it could be worse, but it could absolutely get better.
Yeah.
Like somebody else. Tavecchio, McCann, somebody, you know, a UPS driver, somebody could probably do better than 12-for-20.
I got a buddy who's a UPS driver. I actually have texted him today to ask him how his kicking is doing. He had some bad words to say about the Vol curse. He's a Vandy fan, though. So, yeah, you know, this is a great – this segment, guys, we just established that it could get worse and that it could get better.
Yes.
You can run the ball.
You can throw the ball.
Now you can throw the ball.
And you could sometimes
do
both.
Every snap, or you can throw it every snap, right? It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Appreciate your help.
Say both.
Both. Bofa.
You can run it every snap or you can throw it every snap, right? It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both.
I don't know. He might have. It could get better or it could get worse.
The gift that keeps on giving. When we come back, what do we make of the Titans defense last night? And where do they go from here on that side of the ball? We'll get your reaction as well. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What went wrong in the third quarter on the two punts, and what did you see was the problem on the missed field goal?
Teresa, we missed the field goal. Didn't go in. We didn't punt it well enough the one time and then didn't block well enough on the other. Certainly things that we'll have to improve quickly.
Thank you, Mike Vrabel. They missed the field goal. They didn't punt well enough, and they missed the block.
I asked about Gostkowski. I asked about your guy.
Did you?
I asked Vrabel about Gostkowski. And he said, we got to coach better, got to play better.
Yeah.
He said something like that. It was along those lines.
Oh, man. Let's go back to our poll question of the day on Twitter, at 1025 The Game, and it's a good one. What was the most frustrating aspect of the Titans' special team woes last night? Was it the 17-yard punt by Trevor Daniel? Was it the block punt for a touchdown? Was it the eighth Gostkowski missed field goal? Or was it the decision to put Trevor Daniel in the game in the first place and leave Ryan Allen out? So far, 313 votes in, 31% say it's the eighth Gostkowski miss, 24% say Trevor Daniel in, Allen out, 23% say blocked punt for a touchdown, and 22% say the 17-yard punt. We got a close race. And there are some people saying, yes, all of the above.
Some people wanted the all the above. That's a great poll question. If you have four options and it's spread that evenly. And that tells you just how bad it was last night. Because they're really all good options.
JPM.
And one of those things happens in a game, or, you know, you have the field goal kicker, that's separate. That's a long-term thing. But any of those other ones, that's bad enough.
Sure.
One time in a game. Then you put it all together. And that's why you lose by 17.
It's the big ball of suck last night for the special teams for the Titans. JPM on Twitter, in the strange time that is 2020, that game was an unwelcome return to normalcy for the Titans last night.
Which is a reference to the Colts series.
Yes.
Yes.
Porth, do you feel justified in your fear for the Colts all week now? That you were, you were a nervous Nelly yesterday. Did this go exactly how you thought it would go?
I mean, I'm not proud of it, but kind of, yeah. I'm not kind of proud, but I'm kind of justified. I mean, look, this was once it became 10-10 in the first half, that's when I really started to get nervous about how this game was going, because you could tell they weren't stopping them defensively. And, you know, there have been so many Titans-Colts games where the Titans have – blown opportunities in the second half to either seize the control of a game or just let a lead slip away. And I thought that was a mixture of everything in a span of 63 seconds last night in the third quarter. And it perfectly summed up the fact that this Titans team is now 1-8 in their last nine home games against the Colts. They've lost 20 of the last 24 against this team. They do not ever play well against this team. And this is why I was nervous all week long, is what exactly happened last night. And it could have happened against any team, but it just had to happen against the stinking Colts.
There is a stigma going on right now. It's not good.
Do you think that, because again, these same guys, you say never, but they did just go win at Indy the last time they played these guys. Do you think that these guys on this team are affected by the history of this series?
No, but we see this all the time in sports, Joe. You know that. I mean, some franchises, for whatever reason, just have the number of other franchises. And this is, I mean, this is an exact example of that.
Well, the reason I ask is because you could make the case that because it gets talked about so much, that there is some sort of little thing in the back of the minds of some of the guys. That happens, I think. I do think that when such a big deal is made of something like this, it has nothing to do with them. It goes back years and years.
Yeah.
It can still have a psychological effect. I don't know if that's the case here, but it's interesting to think about.
And switching gears to the other side of the ball in terms of defensively, you know, we've talked a lot about special teams in this game. Defensively, I mean, the Titans forced one punt the entire game. And Phillip Rivers, you know, he didn't do anything to kill you out there. But like you said earlier in the show, Joe, it was basically death by a thousand paper cuts last night for the Titans defense. What did you make of the defense's performance as a whole against Indy last night?
It's pretty bad. But the defense stood to be the game-changing unit for the better. And actually, after they played well against the Bears, the not very good Bears, but they stood to have that status after the game, after a win of making the key plays. Third and one, fourth and one, goal line, great job.
Yep.
Fantastic. If this defense could just play goal line all the time.
Be in good shape.
They gave up some short yardage, too. They gave up 3 of 5 fourth downs, but they stopped the first drive on a fourth and one, which was Landry, really, blowing that play up. And Clowney also involved in that play. And then, of course, they stopped at the goal line. And I feel like eventually they wore out. I mean, it was 60-30 in plays. So it's on them in part because the Colts will do that all day. Phillip Rivers is most comfortable like shot-putting little passes to his running backs.
Yeah.
He loves it. And he make the right decision. But they'll gladly just – if you know, the Titans are like, we're not going to let you beat us over the top. The Colts are like, okay, ding, 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 all day, right? I think the Titans should have been more aggressive. And then eventually they wore out. I mean, I think basically when Gostkowski missed that field goal, how long did it take them to make it 34-17? It was about 4 plays.
Yeah, not very.
Boom, 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 and you're done. So I think that they were in position, if the special teams didn't totally screw it up, to maybe be a good story. Again, so many things change in a game based on a play or two. The A.J. Brown thing that we've talked about. Those punts totally changed the game. The defense at that point, I thought, was doing pretty well. You're not going to stop them between the 20s. You have to stop them in the red zone.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steven from Hendersonville texts in, if I see the defensive backs give an 8-yard cushion on third or fourth down and short one more time, I might spontaneously combust in a fireball of pure rage.
That's some strong...
It's a good mental image.
That's a hot take. But
we've seen a lot of that today, though. Like, why are they playing so far off against this team specifically when Phillip Rivers is not going to beat you over the top? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we had a caller earlier as a Chargers fan said Phillip Rivers has been a great deep ball thrower. And, yes, he has. Again, 2 years ago in London, I think they got 2 touchdowns, I think, on Logan Ryan. If I'm not mistaken, Keenan Allen. I believe that's right.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen had 1 tent. Tyrell Williams have another.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go. But, you know, 2 years ago, and I want to make him prove it right now because he's not the same player. I really don't think he is 2 years later.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, where are the props for Clowney? He played great in the first half. He was in the backfield almost every play. The Colts ran plays away from him. We got a Clowney defender. I like it.
Well, I mean, that's certainly a better take than Stillman saying get rid of him after he makes 2 plays that help them get stops in the first half. I mean, Clowney's not you got to finish more plays. He had 1 tackle for loss. You got to finish, make more plays. But Clowney, yeah, at times was dominant last night.
Yeah. I thought it was his best game.
You want Clowney on your team. Yeah.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred in Ashland City text in, to me, the offense and defense didn't play awful. The defense got a lot of stops on fourth down. The biggest turning point to me was on that 3rd and 1 when they tried to do some dumb Tannehill rollout when Henry had been breaking runs for 15 every play. And then they still got a stop, and the special teams gets one blocked. The kicking game lost that game 100%, and a few plays where the offense, for some reason, didn't want to run the ball in short yardage.
Yeah, and one thing that I miss, and I think, honestly, everyone around me in the press box missed, there was no question about this after the game, but apparently Henry quickly got his shoulder looked at. I didn't see that, but he's going 5 yards, 5 yards, 9 yards, 2nd and 1 comes off, Foreman gets stopped, they run that. You can certainly second-guess that decision to not just get the yard.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text from Jimmy in Clarksville that says, worst half of football I've ever seen. Just kidding, I'm a Falcons fan.
I was going to say the Titans have probably had worse halves overall.
Have they had a worse, What'd you say, 63 seconds? Has there been a worse 63-second span or turn of events in franchise history than we saw last night with the block punt, the shank, everything involved?
I don't know, but I bet
it's gotta
you,
be up there.
I bet you it's a short list that could be that bad, right?
It's pretty quick.
They've had some doozies. I there aren't any that come to mind right away, but if I think long and hard enough about that question, there will be examples.
I'm trying to think of how they're
Ken Wisenhunt or Mike Munchak.
Yeah,
those teams.
But those teams stunk anyway, right? So, well, Wisenhunt did.
I'm trying to think of how like their special teams could get worse than it's been the last few weeks. Like, who was it? Was it Darius Raynaud that like took the knee in the end zone and gave himself a safety?
Yeah, first play of the season.
Yeah,
opening kickoff in Pittsburgh.
That set the tone.
Takes a knee.
Yeah, fields the ball and like the one. Steps back in the end zone,
back.
Takes a knee. Oh,
nice.
2-0 right off the bat.
Hey, special teams had that reverse, the fake reverse. Got a nice return.
Yeah. What'd they get out to, like the 31 on that play?
Hey. Trying to find the little positives. No, they've been terrible. I mean, there's nothing. They're really not adding anything other than when Brett Kern punts. I mean, he's amazing. So when he's healthy, that saves the entire group. But other than that, it's got to be the worst special teams in the NFL, period.
Oh, yeah. When we come back, did we underestimate Philip Rivers heading into the game yesterday against the Titans? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and the Preds Foundation needs your help towards the Smashville Donates campaign. So visit NashvillePredators.com/365Fund to make a donation to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily. Purchase Hockey Fights cancer gear or learn more. You can also bid on silent auction items by texting PREDS to 76278. Follow at PREDS Foundation on Twitter and Instagram for more info. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a 34-17 loss for the Titans last night against the Indianapolis Colts. The Titans fall to 6-3, fall to second place in the AFC South. And, Joe, we spent a lot of time, not only this week, but really all season long, dissecting Philip Rivers, watching Philip Rivers play, reacting to old man Philip Rivers, and really not giving him a whole lot of credit, not giving him a whole lot of respect heading into this game about where his skill set is right now. Based on watching him play live and in person last night, Joe, did we underestimate Philip Rivers heading into this game?
Not at all. He's exactly what I thought he was. Exactly. He's accurate. He gets the ball out quickly. He's very smart. He knows where to go with the ball. And here and there, he will make a mistake that you got to take advantage of. He did that. Malcolm Butler was an inch out of bounds, or he intercepts that ball in the end zone. He was less mistake-prone than in some games. But again, I think he's more mistake-prone against defenses that make him be mistake-prone.
Yeah.
And the Titans are not good on defense. So I'm not surprised he had a good game. That was a game that all along to me was you have to stop them in the red zone. The Titans did some and didn't at other times. Eventually in the second half, it all kind of caved in on them. But you know, Philip Rivers is fine. Do you think – I mean, like anybody watch that game and say, whoa, that might be a Super Bowl run in that team with Philip Rivers at the trigger? I don't think that.
No. Rivers finished 29 of 39 last night, 308 yards, one touchdown. And the big number for him, zero interceptions, to your point about being turnover prone. And Hines last night, I mean, 12 carries, 70 yards. He had another 45 yards in the receiving game. Pittman had 100 yards receiving last night. Just some players that maybe aren't household names, and maybe Titans fans don't even know a whole lot about. Man, they just crushed the Titans last night.
We just found out, by the way, that Mike Vrabel will talk at 10:30 today. One of my favorite day-after-game traditions is to look at John Glennon's Twitter account because he always gives us the Pro Football Focus grades. So it's a scale of 1 to 100. These are some bad grades. Landry, 54.6. J.M. Brown, 51.3. Byard, 59. Simmons, 49. Rashawn Evans, 44.6. Daquan, 41.6. He had the one sack. You know,
anybody in Vic Beasley territory in the 30s?
I have not seen anybody in the 30s. Mm.
Where was Borders?
Borders was their highest rated, apparently, guy per Pro Football Focus. He had an 82.9 defensive grade.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Pro Football Focus, again, you got to take it all with a grain of salt. Jayon Brown, though, these stats are good, and these are real stats, you know, and it matches up with what we saw. I mean, he was targeted 8 times as a man defender, usually against Hines, gave up 7 completions, 74 yards, 5 first downs, 1 touchdown. I watched that matchup, and for the most part, Jayon Brown knew what was coming, knew what to do, and couldn't run with Hines.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was a bad matchup, and Jayon's been good, but last night the Colts took advantage. Phillip Rivers will pick you apart in terms of knowing where to go, and he'll get the ball there. Again, with the short stuff, you got to make him try to heave that ball downfield at this point in his career. It's not what it was, not even that long ago.
And some more defensive struggles last night for the Titans. That's been a theme so far this year. Kenny Vaccaro, Titans safety, had some thoughts after the game on the defensive struggles. Here's what Kenny Vaccaro had to say.
Kenny, what you think continues to be the issues defensively that guys are not able to get off the field in a timely manner on a lot of these drives?
Yeah, man, I think, you know, some of the same things that kind of crept up in our game all year kind of came back to haunt us, whether it's, you know, really just the details, fundamentals, cutting guys loose. A lot of times, man, we're shooting ourselves in the foot instead of actually making offenses beat us, we're beating ourselves. So, I mean, obviously we get these 3 days off to kind of reflect, look, everybody look themselves in the mirror and try to figure out exactly what's going on, because if you play like that in this league, you're not going to win very many games, and we understand that.
That was Titan safety Kenny Vaccaro after the game last night. Joe, let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, last night was clear that Vrabel and Robinson overreached this year. They let go of Casey and Logan Ryan for players that haven't produced, and then cutting those traded or those players that they traded. If this plays continues from the Titans defense, they will go 8-8 or 9-7.
It's been a bad run. No doubt. Bad offseason, and now you have the more specialist problems. Can I go to my text line real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
I need you guys to confirm this for me. So Stillman says that I called Clowney dominant. Did I call Clowney dominant?
No, I think a texter did.
Okay, that's what I thought. I said dominant. He said yes for Clowney, absurd, put the crack pipe down, et cetera, et cetera. I did not say dominant. But sure, Jadeveon Clowney was pretty good last night. I mean, I know it's hard for some people to admit that. He still has to make more plays. He was an asset last night for this defense. And compared to a lot of guys on this defense, he was probably one of the best, I don't know, couple handful players, yeah, on the defense. I mean, maybe that's sad, but I think it's true last night.
And you mentioned Phillip Rivers just carving the Titans up on the quick passing game last night, which, to your point, I mean, it's not a surprise. That's the route that they chose to go, but it was effective against the Titans all game long. Here's what Rashawn Evans had to say on Phillip Rivers and his ability to carve the Titans up last night after the game.
What allowed Rivers to be so effective with the quick throws? I mean, it seemed like he was sort of having those at will and getting the ball out quick.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, they just took advantage of that, you know, doing the quick throws, not allowing our pass rushers to get to them as fast as we wanted to. And, you know, that worked on their end. And for us, we just couldn't get to the quarterback like we wanted to, and that allowed them to be able to gain yardage.
So what do you make of Evans's response there regarding Phillip Rivers in the quick passing game? And why do you think the Titans at some point didn't make some adjustments and weren't able to stop it?
Well, they said they did. And, again, I can't sit here and say – I think TD brought up a good point. Like, Butler was in press a lot.
Yeah.
Some of it is – I mean, Vrabel at one point kind of said, like, yeah, we've talked about that. I mean, some of it is, you know, guys are out there and they make decisions in the moment. Vaccaro said the coaches told them this week they need to do a better job of disguising, of showing press, backing off, showing off, coming up, things like that. Some of that is up to the player and how comfortable you are, but it didn't look like they adjusted enough. No question.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, there's so many other reasons the Titans got dominated last night, and the kicker was an afterthought when I looked at how the game went. That game was dictated first and foremost by Indy's defense and them controlling the game in the trenches. On the flip side, Tannehill is who I thought he was all along. He's a system quarterback that falls apart when opposing defenses stop the run and pressure him up the middle.
Okay. We got a tweeter too. Optic is back. Says we lost by two Ds. How the bleep is it the kicker's fault? LMFAO. People, please stop with this. If you can't see that you had two plays that completely changed the game, I mean, what are you looking at here? Absolutely, the kicking game is the number one story of this game. It's very easy. Yeah, they got beat at times on the both lines of scrimmage. The Titans also had four possessions in the first half against this defense that dominated the game. They scored two touchdowns and a field goal in those four possessions. So you can't tell me that this was just, oh, it had nothing to do with the kicker. They got a goal line stand, were running Derrick Henry, were ahead, were about to go up more, and they blew it with the punter twice. I mean, you can't, come on.
Yeah, and like the field goal kicking may not be the reason they lost this game, but it sucks, and it sucked all year long, and it's going to be the reason you lose games in the future if something isn't done to correct it. So there's a big problem on their hands right now. I realize there is a myriad of issues that this team has right now.
Good word.
The defense, not good. Right now, the offense isn't playing all that well either without Taylor Lewan, and the kicking game sucks. They're in a bad spot right now. So all of these things can be true at the same time. You can have problems elsewhere and also recognize that whether you want to talk about the punter or whether you want to talk about the field goal kicker, it's a big old problem right now for the Titans.
I can't guarantee they would have won if you had a regular punt from Trevor Daniel, then you have a non-blocked punt from Trevor Daniel. I can't guarantee they would have won, but they wouldn't have lost 34-17, right?
Wouldn't have gift-wrapped them 14 points, that's for sure.
63 seconds. You go from up 4 to down 10.
Porth, are you ready for your wonderful update?
I am.
On the Masters. I really enjoyed the one yesterday, especially at the end. But this music, I think, puts everybody in just a better mood here. Day 2 of the Masters today.
It puts me in a better mood, I know that. Much better mood than, you know, 9:30 p.m. last night. So, round one is still ongoing.
Yes.
Here on day 2 of the Masters because of yesterday's weather delay. Round 2 should get underway sometime next hour. So, we are closing in on the end of round one. Atop the leaderboard, tie for first, Paul Casey at 7-under, and Dylan Fratelli at 7-under as well. A new dish that you can find at Fazoli's tonight.
Yes, yes.
Some big names on the leaderboard, too, creeping up there. Justin Thomas at 6-under, tied for third. Dustin Johnson, tied for third at 6-under. Justin Rose, tied for sixth at 5-under. He's still on 17 in his first round of play. Tiger Woods, tied for 10th at 4-under.
Ooh, Eldrick.
Yeah, he will tee off at 1:30 p.m. Central Time today.
Okay.
So round two probably won't finish today. Round two will probably finish tomorrow morning. So that is your leaderboard update from Augusta, Georgia, brought to you by Music City Golf in Belle Meade, the home for all your golfing needs.
Very beautiful, Porth.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Appreciate it.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans. What did we learn about this Titans team last night against the Colts in the big picture of things? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.